Well, I'm going to jump around a little bit tonight in the Bible on this subject. Maybe just kind of introduce it a little bit. Dig into it more, maybe, later. The church represents the building, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His work. It's His bride. And so it's very special to Him. And He wants to present it to the Father. One of the reasons that it's no doubt it's stressed in the scriptures that God wants us to be clean and holy. That's not a popular subject in our day. The common way of describing Christians nowadays is they're a sinner saved by grace. That's what they're called, indicating that they're still a sinner. But that isn't what the Bible teaches, and that's definitely, if you'd think about it this way, how can you put the two words upon a Christian, identify him as a saint, which means holy. The word saint means holy. A saint and a sinner at the same time. It just don't go. It doesn't work. The saint of God, the Christian, and you read in your Bible, it's not like something I'm making up. You read in the Bible, when he starts out a book, he said to the saints. He's talking to the church of Corinth and to the saints at Corinth. Sanctified, that's what he called them. And you look at 1 Corinthians 1, you'll see. Him addressing it, the church of Corinth, to the saints of Corinth, sanctified. That means holy. And so on through. So that's his will for the church. That's not something that some preacher or some denomination dreamed up. That's Bible. That's simple Bible truth. Let me read it a little bit. And I'm going to just say a few words in this passage, then I'll move to another. Husband, loves your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's Ephesians 5, 25. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, read that over and over again sometime. He gave himself for the church, and this is his will for the church. This is the design of the church. This is the order of the church. This is what the church will be. Now, please listen to me. It's not going to be any other way. It's not going to be a church that's dragged into heaven, looking like the world, ungodly, wicked. No, this is the way it's going to be because Jesus guarantees it. This is what he's going to do. This is the order for his church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water with the word. He that is of God heareth God's word. Then he finished that statement by saying to the Pharisees that ye are not of God. He told them because they didn't hear the word. The word of God is going to sanctify. The Bible says in John 17:7, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word of truth. Sanctify does never mean just separation. You could not go to the movies or not go to the card evils, they used to say it years ago, or any of the other places, the movie house, I don't care what it is, some place in the world. And just because you don't go, just because you don't go, doesn't mean that you've made yourself holy. Holiness is an inward work of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God with the Word of God. He's going to sanctify them through the truth. He's going to do it with His Word. And the reason being, look at verse number 27, the reason being that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. It isn't going to be anything but a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's just the way the church that's going to heaven is going to look. It's going to be having spot, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, anything like that, but that is going to be holy and without blemish. It will be that way. It will not enter any other way. These are the words of God, inspired word of God. This is what Jesus wants for His church. This is what He wills for this church. And this is what He'll get for His church. It will not be altered. It'll be not changed. It won't be any compromise to it. There won't be any other variations to it. This is exactly what He's going to present to Himself, a holy church. And so that's His will, that we be of that state of purity, godly holiness, that He can show to the Father, this is my beautiful, pure, holy bride. Now He's going to present us in heaven. And He's going to be guaranteed that He's not going to be ashamed of one person. Hello? He's not going to be ashamed of one person. I know I said in announcing what I was going to preach on, what do you get out of church? How does it affect you? And all they said, I'm going to deal with that. But I just want to make it clear what the church is and what it's going to be like. Regardless of what we think, regardless of what men say, that's got nothing to do with it. It don't matter what preachers preach. That'll never hold up water. That'll never stand in the judgment. That never does change the Bible. Just because, well, I don't see it that way, and I believe that thing, you know, and I, it don't matter. This is the only thing that's going to last. It's already in heaven. It's not going to change now in these latter days when compromise has taken the church over. And I read the other day, I think, in that Friday news, it's kind of shocking, but the Mennonite church, the head echelons of the, and it doesn't represent all the Mennonites, but the one of the big organizations of the Mennonite church has voted to accept and support homosexuality. I mean, that's what they said. It's already started. It affected 2-3 years ago out there in Stewart's Draft. They took their name off. Took Mennonite off their name. People wonder, why'd they do that? Because they said in that church, we're not going to go down that road and support the homosexuals. There's Baptist churches that do now. I'm saying to you, they're not going to change this Bible. This is His church. We're not dealing with our church, my church. We're dealing with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word. It's going to be that way. And it'll always be that way. Now turn back just a page in Ephesians 3. And let's begin reading verse number 7. Ephesians 3 and verse number 7. Whereof I have made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heaven, heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is what he purposed. This is what his plan was. This is what he designed for the church. And his desire for the church was that there'd be glory always in the church. Glory in the church, world without end. Amen. May it be so. And so, God's will for the church as that be a church that would worship, a church that glory is praise and honor and worship, a church that glorified God, worship God and serve God and please God. And so it's a church that has just a desire to gather together, as we say, brother, we have met to worship. It's one of the reasons we call the Sunday morning service the worship service. Sunday morning worship service. And so we're together that there be glory in the church, world without end, all the time, here on out. Is what we desire, what he desires, what he longs for us, what he wants us to be is people that just meet to worship the Lord. Not to be worshiped, but to worship. Somehow it's in reverse. Most of the churches that are built nowadays are designed for the people. by the people, for the people. It's they're made to entertain and to worship people. Worship the whoever's speaking and whoever's singing, putting on a show, and whoever's preaching eloquently to them. And so the worship, very little, if any, goes towards God. God wants us to be people that worship Him continually. What's that song? Was it Fanny Crosby's song? About, I forgot how the chorus goes, and I believe it does go that way. Or one of the stanzas about worshiping Him constantly. We never stop, and it's our desire to worship Him continually. What do we come to church for? What are we getting out of church? Are we going home feeling that we honored our God, or worshiped our God? Let Him know we're thankful and we love Him and we praise Him and we can't thank Him enough for what He's doing for us. Are we praising Him and just, you go home and you feel, why, that's a good service. Why was it a good service? Well, the people were just in harmony and unity and oneness, and we just sang praises unto the Lord and heard the Word of God, and the Word of God worked in our lives and helped us to grow and mature in our faith and to show love and adoration and honor for our Lord. And so when you go home, you kind of feel like you did something to show God that you really love Him and you really want to thank Him and you want to praise Him. Glory in the church, world without end. Amen. Constantly praising, giving God the glory. You'll never praise Him too much. You'll never thank Him too much. You never get to where, you know, you just don't need to have a worship service. Every service ought to be designed with the intent to worship God. Well, I don't write books, and A.W. Tozer wrote this somewhere in the 50s or the 60s. He died in the early 60s. I think it's on the back of this book. He died 63. Since his death in 63, he died in 1963. So I imagine somewhere in the 50s or 40s, he wrote this book. Now, am I making that clear? How long ago this was written? Probably 70 years ago. This is what he wrote back there 60 or 70 years ago. Now, the chapter deals with the absence of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to put you in the middle of this thing, but that's what he's talking about. What happens to a church when they don't recognize the Holy Spirit? What is church like when people don't sense the presence of the Holy Spirit of God? This is the way the average church, in his view, what they're getting out of church and what they're going home with. Now, it's not supposed to be like this. But this is the way it is according to his view, and he's probably not too far off. 60, 70 years ago. In the light of all this, it will see how empty and meaningless the average church service today. How empty, meaningless is the average church service today. All the means are in evidence. The one ominous weakness is the absence of the Spirit's power. The form of godliness is there. And often the form is perfected till it is aesthetic triumph, beautiful triumph. Music and poetry, art and oratory, symbolic vestures and solemn tones combine to charm the mind of the worshiper. None of it's towards God. It can't be towards God. The Holy Spirit of God's not in charge. And so the worship is towards men. They want to impress men, please men, make them feel good that they came to church. It's not worship of God. But too often the supernatural effect is not there. The power from on high is neither known. He's tough. The power from on high is neither known. The next part is bad, really bad. Nor desired. This is the average church 60 to 70 years ago. People, I don't know, I've been hearing this on and off, different preachers saying this, that people are worshiping this way. And I don't know, I picked this book, and I've read it different times, but it just stood out to me as I read it this time, that people go to church and never worship. They feel good about what it did for them instead of what it did for God. It's neither known nor desired by pastor or people. Well, that's bad. There is nothing less than tragic, and all the more so because it falls within the field of religion where the eternal destinies of men are involved, where people are brought in, and they go to church, and everybody's happy, everybody's singing loud, everybody's just going around shaking hands, all that stuff. That's wonderful, but where is the Holy Spirit of God leading them and true worship? It's missing. He gets tougher. Listen to these words. To the absence of the Spirit may be traced that vague sense of unreality, which almost everywhere invests religion in our times. In the average church, I'm not saying this, I'm reading it. 60, 70 years ago. In the average church service, the most real thing is the shadowy unreality of everything. The worshiper sits in a state of suspended meditation, mental thoughts in his mind running through, a kind of a dreamy numbness creeps in upon him. He hears words, but they do not register. He cannot relate to them to anything on his own life level. Is that a strong rebuke? My soul. He hears words. The words don't relate to him or fit his life. Don't bother him. You know, we met. We had a good time together. You know, in a dreamy world. Just, he says, He is conscious of having entered a kind of half world. His mind surrenders itself to a more or less pleasant mood, which passes with the benediction, leaving no trace behind. It doesn't leave any better, any change than when he came. Now the Lord designed a church to help you and me, to change us, to make us better people, to make us people that love righteousness and hate iniquity, to where we can have a true fellowship with the Holy Ghost of God. Talks about joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. I mean, a good time in the Holy Ghost of God. Just sensing his presence, seeing him, the wind blowing through the congregation and moving the lives of people. Wouldn't it do something to you if you seen a person stand and said, God's been dealing my heart and convicting me of sin and I want to get saved? Would that thrill your soul? Would that bring tears to your eyes? Would you go home shouting, oh, glory to God, so-and-so got saved tonight. Hallelujah. A lot of preachers put it this way. They went just through the motions, you know, through the ritual, through all the formula, and got so used to it, so common, they not only do not sense the Holy Ghost. Well, I almost want to differ with them there, but he says they don't even desire it. They don't even want the Holy Ghost to come in. How often do you pray, oh, Holy Spirit, meet with us today? Awaken us, break us, mold us, melt us. We sing that chorus in the opening book of the cover of our songbook. Inviting the Holy Spirit to come, break me, melt me, mold me, move me. And when he does, look what it does to you. It just makes the joy bells ring in your soul. Why? No condemnation. Just peace and joy and happiness on the inside. Something the world can't give. It can't give that peace. It can't give that joy, happiness. Only God can do that, working in your life and in your body, relating to how that he's cleansed your life. You don't go around constantly in your with your conscience full of offense. Nothing more peaceful for the mind to have a conscience void of offense. Just know without a doubt. Nothing wrong. Just sing the song. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. None of this world's delusive dreams. And you know what it does for you. You feel clean. You feel right with God. You feel like you want to shout. You feel like you want to pray. You feel like you want to worship. You can go home just singing, praising God on the way home. I've said to you, it's a wonderful thing to wake up in the morning singing. Just wake up with a song on your mind. Before you ever get out of bed, you're singing one. It's just coming in your mind and you're singing it. You're going through the words. Makes your day just bad, don't it? No, it makes your day glad. Just makes your day glad that God has spoke to your heart and God has met with you in the morning. cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. That makes a world of difference. Cause me. Make me to hear it. I want to hear your voice. I want to sense your presence. I'm saying the most joyful thing you can do is to leave and go home rejoicing over God, speaking to your heart and helping you, correcting your way, answering a prayer, showing his mercy towards you. Some beautiful words, isn't it? You're forgiven. Does that lift the burden? I remember when the burden rolled away, I carried them for years, night and day, till I sought the blessed Lord, took him at his word. Gone. The burden rolled away. We ought to be able to go to church and in our heart have gladness that we're going, gladness that we're there, and gladness on the way home that we did go. Well, I'm glad we didn't miss church. Boy, God just moved in our lives. God met with us. God helped us. I'm saying to you, I'm a little past my time right now. I wanted to deal with a number of things. I got all kinds of verses, but I even wanted to go to the churches of Asia. I really desire for us to see in reality what to expect in the last days. We're not living in the early days. We're living in the days of the Church of Philadelphia and Laodicea, the last churches, and what it means, what effect it has on us. But even in the last church, the Laodicean church, there's a ray of hope at the end. Behold, I stand at the door and said, if any man will open the door, I will come in. This is the church in apostasy, the church in a terrible state. He said, if any man will open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. That sup is where the song come, supper time. That's where it come from, that song. Supper time. He wants to have supper time with you. Late, but yet it's a good meal. And so there's a chance, even at the end of the Laodicean church age, and it's kind of a singular person thing, instead of it being a whole unity of the church, if any man, not of the whole church, if any man will answer, will open the door, any man, I'll come in, sup with him. I'm saying to you, there is hope. Even in these latter days, when the old devil has beguiled so many, and it looks like you see the church in a terrible state, but there's hope. Let me in, and we'll have some fellowship. We'll have a meal together. We'll have a time of rejoicing together. I'm saying there is hope. There's hope for every church, any church that wants to invite God back in and ask him to meet with him. Shall we stand? What do you get out of church? I hope there's something. Hope there's something every time you come. Pray for it that every time you enter the door, there's something there that you can take home with you. Something that'll help you face the week, give you strength, give you encouragement, lift your spirit. If necessary, deal with the sin in your life. Get victory over it. Sing the song, Victory in Jesus. And so certainly there's joy in just overcoming. Just winning the battle. Having victory in your soul. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I'm going to make bass singers out of all of you. God's good. There ought to be a joy of just seeing God's people coming to a place that's sheltered, a place in out of the storm of the world, a place where you can blend your voices together and praise unto the Lord, a place where you can hear the word of God and answer some questions in your mind. Give you grace and strength to press on. Some bread from heaven. One of the old preachers calls it bread from Bellevue's oven. And certainly God gives us, he can give you fresh bread. Speak to your heart and soul. Amen. Love the church. Thank God for the church. If it hadn't been for the church, probably most of you wouldn't have been saved. Hadn't been for the church. Hadn't been for the Spirit of God moving to the services, dealing your lives. You hearing the word and hearing the word, and then the Holy Spirit of God began to make application to your life and drew you to salvation. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Paul dismissed the word of prayer.
Pray that we'd come to worship and to grow. Pray you be with all the prayer requests that's been mentioned throughout the day. It seems like just about every member has something they're going through. I pray you'd just encourage, strengthen, help each one. Pray you just help us throughout the week. Be sure to give you honor and glory and to keep you in the forefront of our thoughts and all we do and say. And that we please and honor and glorify you in all we do and say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.